Now we want to give you a warning about our next story. It contains graphic descriptions not appropriate for children. That's because it's about one way people addicted to heroin say they're hurt while high. Rape. Women, and some men, on the streets of the Boston area say they live in fear of attacks. They're too sedated to fend off. They talk of waking up to discover bruises, torn clothing, or other signs of assault. Doctors rarely ask overdose patients whether they've been raped. But, as WBUR's Martha Biebinger reports now, there are plenty of reasons to start.
There are times you go with someone you don't trust, and that's a very vulnerable situation you put yourself in.
On a stone bench in Cambridge, a woman named Kristen sits down with some friends to talk about a fear they live with daily, rape. We're only using Kristen's first name because she's a victim of this crime. The problem starts many mornings, says Kristen, when she wakes up sick and desperate for heroin, but afraid to shoplift, sell the goods, and seek out a dealer on her own. So she finds a male buddy, someone she calls a running partner.
It's just safer. People are less likely to beat you, rob you, sell you fake drugs if you've got a strong, well-known man with a reputation. A good reputation, yeah. You know?
But sometimes that strong man turns out to be another danger. Kristen, who's 32 and still has the lanky body of a high school backstroke champion, cringes at the memory of falling into a drug-induced sleep near a running partner she'd come to trust.
I woke up to him with my pants off and him on top of me, pretty much like demanding that we have sex. And I'm weak because of the drugs that I take in. So I'm like trying to push him off. I can't do it. Grab my phone and I just kind of like barrel roll off the bed, pull my pants up, and I run outside.
This time, Kristen got away. In two other attacks, she did not. After each assault and dozens of hours of unwanted kissing, groping, and other sexual favors, Kristen would try going solo on the streets. But then she'd get robbed or sold fake drugs and decide to find a new running partner. Even today, Kristen finds herself attached to men who, some part of her knows, are not safe. The addiction, she says, overpowers fear and common sense warnings.
In hindsight, it's crazy. You look back and you're like, red flag, red flag, red flag. I'm even noticing it in real time and pushing it aside because there's a high waiting for me at the end.
Two women who were sitting with Kristen and nodding while she spoke have drifted away. She glances over her shoulder when I ask if her experience is unusual.
Between the other two women that were sitting here with me and the few that are across the street, combined, we probably have about 20, 25 assaults or rapes. It's almost become normalized, and that's messed up.
There's little data on sexual assault during the opioid epidemic, but Boston Area Rape Crisis Center Director Gina Scaramella says she isn't surprised by Kristen's account.
I would almost be surprised if that wasn't the case, to be 100% honest.
Scaramella says that's because some assailants seek women and men who they expect will be unconscious or semi-conscious. In addition, drug users may already be hiding from public view, and many have lost connections that might offer protection.
A job, you know, stable housing, people that know where they are and care where they are. The isolation piece is a huge vulnerability for sexual violence because the offender will see that as an opportunity.
There is one survey published 2 years ago that asked 164 young adults in New York who were addicted to opioids about rates of sexual violence. 41% of women and 11% of men said they had been forced to have sex while using drugs. One Boston physician says virtually all of her patients, mostly homeless women and men, have stories about often violent sexual assaults.
I wasn't as aware of this until more recently, but I'm just struck by how common it is. In fact, it seems really ubiquitous.
Dr. Jessie Gaeta is medical director at the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless program, where she oversees the only clinic in the state where patients can be monitored while high on drugs. Gaeta says women often pull her aside as they come out of a high to ask if she'll look at infections, cuts, or swelling around their genitals.
The stories are just so heart-wrenching and just the worst possible kind of sexual trauma.
Few emergency room doctors routinely ask overdose patients if they've been raped. Gaeta says this is understandable in the chaos of trying to save a life, stabilize the man or woman, and persuade them to consider treatment. But Gaeta says screening must become routine because there are many reasons to worry about a patient who's been raped.
Like unintended pregnancy, sexually transmitted illness, even physical injuries, lacerations we've seen around the rectum or around the vagina.
And the mental injuries. Kristen blames herself for the attempted rape.
I can't believe that I put myself in that situation. I know better.
After the assault, Kristen checked into detox and then rehab for the first time. She did not finish the program.
I was like, oh my God, my life's gotten out of control. Like, I am getting raped. I am overdosing on the regular. Something's got to change. I have these moments of clarity in my life where I'm like, this has got to stop. Like, I know better. I'm smarter than this. I'm going to die. But then there's this very, like, apathetic, I don't care attitude to what happens to me. I didn't let the assault and the rape, like, define me. For me, it's easier to completely detach myself from it, put it in a box, throw it away, don't think about it.
Except that the sexual assaults and fear of more become one more pain Kristen tries to numb with heroin. One more reason she clings to that escape. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.